Hello.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey. Let me think about that, and I'll talk with Mary about how best to approach it, and then we'll maybe have a joint meeting with you and Dottie to kind of talk through some of our options and how it affects all that stuff. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I do also have a recorded lecture where I talk to my students about why it's important and how they should do it. So I have.
Thank you.
Lecture, and I had someone who served. When they were an undergrad, who came and talked about it and why it was important.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, we do have this meeting recorded.
It's by all means. It's not because of effort, right? Student affairs and our team have aggressively, pursued trying to get students to engage. And now it's compounded by the fact that, it's COVID, there's stresses on families. It's a stressful environment. So just to be clear, it is a challenge on a good day.
Yeah.
So I don't want to in any way suggest that it's because of a certain effort or group or whatever. It's more about just kind of officially documenting, because we've all known this, the fact that we've struggled to continue to recruit. So anyways, Mary, go ahead.
And we do have a process that can work asynchronously. I mean, we do have a chair, Viviana, and we do have a process for the votes to go on asynchronously through InfoReady. So, but I guess one of the things that was on the agenda was to hear kind of where we're at with the legal counsel, with perhaps continuing on accepting additional applications and opening this up a bit to more than what we've previously done, but something that's well within the categories of IRA. And Kirk, did you?
Yes, I can. I can give you an update on seeking out the legal counsel on uses for IRA. I reached out to the provost last week and crafted an email in which she forwarded to Mark Muchnick, who is legal counsel for Channel Islands, and we're anticipating a response by the end of this week.
Okay. So one of the things we had hoped was to discuss that more. I don't know if we want to wait until we have students or what is everyone's thoughts on where we can go right now without students? Do you think we're able to, should we hold off until we hear from the legal counsel and maybe try again to get students?
I think from the budget standpoint of things, because we do an annual student fee report to the chancellor's office. And so we have an affinity group meeting this week. I'm just curious if you want me to bring it to that group to find out like, how else are you guys spending it? But at the same time, I don't necessarily want to highlight like, hey, we have these funds that we're trying to figure out how to spend, but we do have some contacts with other CSUs that we feel comfortable reaching out to if that is supported by this group. And I understand if it's not, so it's okay.
I think it's fine. I think it's probably not a unique position to be in, other than maybe the way that we've spent our funds in the past is a little unique with a big portion of them going to student travel.
Mary, you have done, we were looking at Sonoma's website, and I think Mary had dug up some information on what we had done in the past, which doesn't necessarily mean it was correct, but we have done it. So there is precedent there. And then I know I had spoken to Dean Virtue, who's the dean of the library, and she's reached out actually months ago to her cohort of peers. And I think it was San Jose State who continues to use the IRA for publications, which if you look at the old EDC on this matter, it clearly, to me at least in my interpretation, it says that publication and subscriptions are only to be purchased for club-like things, right? Student clubs, not with the library. So I'm, you know, as much as I like the idea of reaching out, I'm not sure, we wouldn't be following poor policy. But I have talked with Dean Virtue about some of the uses that they would be able to take advantage of IRA. One of those is like the Writing Multiliteracy Center tutors and the Learning Resource tutors. There was, if you look at our website, and Mary, you can, you know, stop me whenever. I don't mean to hijack this, mm-hmm. but if you look at our website, we cleaned it up now so that it isn't defined by, a handful of individuals. It's simply it's defined by the committee using the EDC as the backdrop or the framework for determining what is legitimate and what isn't. At the end of the day, the EDC, which is the executive order or the actual document in statute that outlines what the rules for using IRA are, everything will be defined from that. And there's nothing in there that says you cannot use it for student tutors. As a matter of fact, there's one or two lines in there that say, do you remember what that says, Mary?
I've got at the very end of it. It says other activities associated with other instructional areas that are consistent with the purposes included in the above may be added as they are identified. And an example of where we've done that in the past is with student travel, because that's clearly not something that's laid out in the Ed Code, really. So
I would encourage you between now and the next time we meet to actually review our website for the IRA policy. Let's see. Let me make sure it's up. Yeah, I'm still seeing where would that be, Dave? Where
it's under
I can screen share
guidelines. Oh.
Guidelines. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think we want to clear up the guidelines and then policy and procedure, because it seems they're not in congruence. But there it says, activities that are considered to be essential to a quality educational program and important to instructional experiences for any student enrolled in the respective program. And that's how they define activities, essential to the quality educational program. Well, if you think about what the library is doing, when it comes to the tutor centers, all of those are essential to the quality of the educational program. I think, in my estimation, I'd love to hear, as you guys think through these things, what your interpretation of that is. And as Mary pointed out, obviously, what will help us tremendously is to get documented legal counsel on what his interpretation is. But the on letter G, other activities associated with that are other instructional areas that are consistent with purpose, including the above, as Mary pointed out. So I think we have trapped ourselves in a box over the last several years, kind of in this echo chamber, not really thinking about. And I think maybe that's why you get so many different ways in which institutions are utilizing this. That's it seems like everybody is doing something different. And that is because I think the flexibility or vagueness, whichever one you want to term you want to use, that's reflected in the actual policy and statute. So just wanted to say that.
Given lack of solid information that we have back from the legal counsel, and given that we don't have any students present, and that we also have people that have 2:30 p.m. meetings, what is there more to discuss? Or
how about where they're at in the review of existing policies? Applications? Have we put that on hold, or where are we with that?
With that, I have added the voting members of the committee as reviewers, including the students.
So
they have access to review them.
Yeah. Does everybody have access and have at least, do you have any questions about InfoReady?
I went ahead and tested, and I was able to get in just fine and see the various applications. So I maneuvered in there okay. I just haven't actually taken the time to review. It was just more of a, you know, sanity check that I could get in.
And there is still time to, wasn't due this week, so.
Well, and as we talked about last week, you know, one of the things that we're all considering, and as Mary pointed out, will open up once we define how best we can use IRA, or if there are any changes to the way we're using it, is opening it up, so that there's no real schedule associated with it. Basically, the committee meets as needed and online, and then kind of evaluates what has come through. I think in the interim, you know, as we talked about earlier, you know, adding as much flexibility as we can, not only to the way in which we use it, but the timing, so that it doesn't pose a burden on those applicants, I think is going to go a long way. But with that said, I don't want to burden you at all, the committee, in that respect, in terms of trying to push this through. I think we have time, and I'll defer to both Dave and Mary on that time. You know, is it truly a cutoff? I mean, what do we need to push? It doesn't give me the impression, given the circumstances that we find ourselves in, I don't really see a need to kind of get aggressive on a timeline, but I may be.
Nor do I. I think anybody who had anything that was pressing for spring probably already submitted it for early approval. Like we have several spring proposals that were approved with the fall batch. But given that next week is Thanksgiving week, how do the committee members feel about what should we be doing next week? Do you just want to work on your own at looking at the proposals, or do you want to try to meet next week or have an email update if we hear something from the council, or what are the thoughts on that?
I would prefer to not meet unless we have heard from council, just so we could have that window to continue to work on these.
Okay.
No, I love seeing you guys.
I second that. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And just in general, in years past, to more reflect student schedules, we like to finish reviews of the current batch. Now, I'm just saying how it's normally been done. We can modify this as to conclude the reviewing part before finals week. So if we wanted to put a deadline on this current batch of 20, which again, so that would be December 4th would be basically all of this week, next one, and the next one, about 3 weeks to conclude that. And then that would wrap up the review part, at least before finals week starts.
Yeah, I think I had, let's see. I just want to take a peek at what I have put for the due date for the reviews. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Let's see. yet. Have not ended. From the my view, I'm not seeing. I think I had put it for like November 29th. Does it? Can anyone see in yours when the due date is?
I didn't see it, but I checked it today, and I think that's correct. But I can
okay. log in. Yeah, it's something like that. The week after Thanksgiving, I think is what I was thinking would be a natural ideal deadline for this. If we could get it through, nothing happens if you don't get it through. It doesn't close. You know, your reviews can still go on.
Mary, is there, and maybe Dave would be a better answer to this, are there any of the applications that are time sensitive that need to follow the same timeline that we traditionally have followed? Or is there some flexibility in there? Does anybody know when the first transaction is to take place?
Yeah, in general, there's a couple like music related ones, or I should say performing arts. Generally we notify recipients or applicants of the success or whether they've been awardees, by like the start of the semester. Sometimes we get a jump, you know, so January 17th, 18th-ish, but even if we extended that to the first week of the semester, transactionally, we're not gonna start probably till the beginning of February.
Right.
I
think we could probably informally tell people that have submitted those proposals time and again not to worry, because there's plenty of funds.
So long as
we have things set up to.
Well, so long as it meets the guidelines.
The guidelines.
Yeah.
Right, and that's I'm talking about like performing arts that have guest artists or whatever that they've been with us for, 10 plus years.
Is there anything else for the good of the order, folks? Okay. Well, I think we can graciously give you back 35 minutes. Right, so we charge about $2 a minute, Mariel. Thank you very much, and I guess we'll hear back, Mary. Our next meeting will be scheduled for the week after Thanksgiving, and then if there are any updates that I can provide you via email, I'd be happy to do that with regards to Mark Muchnick's response. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.